Greetings and welcome to Tara and Rama's Friday Night Hard News Call. Welcome all you commanders, eagles, and angels. We're so grateful that you're here. This is Rainbird, and I'm opening the call tonight. So let's just take a moment and go into that heart space. And take a few centering breaths. Just breathe in through your nose and gently out through your mouth. Is one way, or if you have another favorite way, do that. Let's call in those seven sacred directions, and I like to add those medicine ancestors to that. And also have a little rattle here, so if you hear that, that's that rattle working with me. So, welcome, all you medicine ancestors. Thank you for joining us here tonight at this Rainbow Rose Roundtable. We're grateful for our lives. We're grateful to be here at this time. Thank you for all of your good assistance. Thank you for midwifing us as we do this work. Thank you for those ancient ways assisting us as we do our medicine work. So thank you. Thank you for joining us here tonight, all you good medicine ancestors. And all you spirit beings of the East, come, look this way. Eagle, condor, we're grateful for your high-flying ways, connecting us to the sky and bringing the heaven to earth with those broad wings and that keen vision. Thank you for the illumination. Thank you, sun, rising sun, bringing us that promise of a new day, all those new beginnings. We're grateful for this day, this now moment. So thank you, all you good spirit keepers of the East. Thank you for joining us here. All you gatekeepers of the North, come, look this way. Owl, buffalo, moose, elk. Thank you for your lives. Thank you for your way of walking in grace. And owl, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for midwifing us between life and death and death and life. We're grateful for those, all the wisdom teachers of the North, our own teachers and our teachers' teachers, and those teachers' teachers' teachers. And thank you, Cold Hard Truth, for opening our minds and hearts in new ways. Thank you for this opportunity to learn and grow and become. Thank you for your assistance as we show up in our lives, in all the ways that we show up in our lives. Thank you for that wisdom. Thank you, Tall Standing Nation, the tree people, for reminding us how to stay grounded and yet feel the freedom of the wind in our arms and spirit. Reaching the sky. So thank you, all you good wisdom keepers of the North. Thank you for joining us here. All you gatekeepers of the West, come, look this way. We're grateful for this day, this evening, this setting sun, this place of darkness. Thank you, Ish, seven Ish, this magical day in the Mayan calendar, in that record keeper way. I'm grateful for that jaguar priestess letting us ride on her back in the inaugural. The wisdom that comes from that place of the dark. Thank you for showing us how to let go of what no longer serves us. Thank you, Death, for serving us all the ways that you do. So thank you for those teachings of Bear, showing us how to be introspective and go within and do the work from there in that dream time. And thank you, Horse, for showing us how to stay in our power. Thank you for that strength that you lend to our lives. So thank you, all you good wisdom keepers of the West. Thank you for joining us here tonight. Well, you gatekeepers of the South, come. Come join us here at this Rainbow Rose Roundtable. Thank you, all you 13 clan mothers, grandmothers. Thank you for joining us here. Thank you for all you sisters of the Blue Corn, you medicine keepers, healers. Thank you for all your healing ways and teachings. And all those good plant people in the South that do that healing work. And thank you, tricksters, rabbit and coyotes, keeping it light, giving us reasons to laugh and laugh at ourselves. Thank you, all you children, for reminding us how to our childish ways, those important memories of our childhood, those memories of joy and peace and trust and heart and play and dance and sing. So thank you for all those songs. Thank you for helping us find our own song. So thank you, Corn, for all that abundance and all that sunshine and our gardens growing. Thank you for the harvest at this time of year. So much harvest, so much abundance. We have much gratitude for all you good ones of the South. Thank you for joining us here tonight. Sky Nation, come, look this way. All of our brothers and sisters in space, we are so grateful for your lives. Thank you. Thank you for all the ways that you show up in our lives. Thank you for sharing this vision, this crossover in the ages that renews our relationship to all of our brothers and sisters in the universe and all the ways of the universe. Thank you for witnessing as we do our work here. We're grateful to be alive at this time and honored to know that we get to meet you in this lifetime in new and different ways. We are excited about that. So we have lots of anticipation of good times with the new unfolding of our new relationships with all you good space brothers and sisters. And thank you, Sun, all you ascended beings in space, all of us. This is great central sun and Helios and Vesta and all you wondrous angels and good ones of space of our Sky Nation and all the planet beings, Venus and Mars and Saturn, all of them, Pluto. Thank you. Thank you for passing by Earth and waving at us, showing us different places in our lives that we can work with, and thank you for lending your energies to us in those special ways. Thank you, rain and thunder and lightning and all these other sky people, those clouds, the real ones and the new ones. Thank you for all the ways that you change and enliven our lives So thank you, Sky Nation. Thank you for joining us here. Earth Mother, Pachamama, come. Come join us here as we counsel around this council fire, this Rainbow Rose roundtable. Thank you for letting us ride on your back. Thank you for all of the nourishment and nurturing that you lend to our lives as we are all one. We're grateful for all of your beauty and all of your abundance and all of your kingdoms, the mineral kingdoms and the water kingdom, and the air, all the elementals, and all of the fairies and gnomes. Thank you. Thank you for joining us here tonight as we do this work. We honor all the spirits of the land. We're grateful for our lives on this beautiful planet. We're so grateful for you, Mother, Mother Earth. Thank you for joining us here today. And ancestors, seven generations back, seven generations forward, come join us here. Stand by us as we do this work. We're grateful for your words of wisdom and the way you stand by us and share that heart space. Thank you for those bone memories. Thank you for that inspiration to get this work done that we're doing here now so that those future generations can continue on in that ascension path in a good way. So thank you, all you good ancestors. Thank you for all the inspiration and the love and the steadfastness in our lives. So welcome, welcome. Join us here and lend your messages to our ears as we do our work here tonight. So thank you. Aho. Aho Metakwegasin. All my relations. We are all one. And so I'm going to continue with the housekeeping now as we help our brothers and sisters in the radio station, the work that we do here together as we go into that heart space and share from our hearts in that good gifting way of sending money. That is a strong gift and it travels well. And we need it to travel well. DBS Radio, our requirement is $300 a week, and this week we need $375 to be even. So we need to keep on giving in that good way that we know how to the radio on a regular basis like we have been. We've been keeping up well and grateful for all of our efforts in this. So the ways that we send money to DBS is through the computer using our plastic or through the mail. So as we would have a cashier's check or a money order and want to mail it to DBS Radio, we do that at this address, DBS Network, Incorporated, 5167 Toyon Lane, T-O-Y-O-N, Lane, and that's in Paradise in California, and that address or zip code is 95969. Put a little memo in there that it's for Tara and Rama and Marita's calls, and put Attention Don on the envelope. Attention Don will get that to the right person, and that helps. So thank you. Thank you for doing it that way. I know all of your contribution goes towards the bill here, and we're so grateful. And we're grateful for all the blessings that come our way as we do get pay it forward like that. The Internet way is through the website, DBS radio.com. And there's where you click on Station 2, Radio Station 2, and look for the icon for the Stargate Roundtable with Marita on Thursday, or the Friday Night Call with Hard News with Tara Rama, or the History of Nisera Call on Saturday. Either any one of these icons will work. So as we do that, then we will be talking to where our contribution applies to our debt, our commitment here at the radio station. So thank you for doing it that way, and that's easy. And thank you, all of you who have not ever given a contribution. Let's do it. Let's make that part of what we do, and it's fun, and it's really fun when you watch the blessings come your way. The synchronicity happening when we work together, and as we get together each week, it's because that we do this work this way. So thank you for your participation. And then Tara and Rama are in need, and we share that commitment to assist them in any way we can financially, and they have two bills due right now that they do not have the money for. So we need contributions immediately for Tara and Rama, and they also need money for food. They need these bills paid. They said that they got enough last week for two and have five more. These two that are immediate need to be attended to. So we really are looking for angels among us at this time. Thank you, angels. Please come forward. We're grateful. We're grateful for all that you can give. Go into your heart space. See what is yours. Perhaps you might like to have a reading from Tara and Rama. And that is, of course, with Mother Setnet as well. Very good reading. And can be very helpful in your life path. So consider that as well. The ways that you can send money to Tara and Rama is through the website on their PayPal account or through the mail. The mailing address with a cashier's check or money order is Ram D. Berkowitz, R-A-M, D as in David, Berkowitz, B as in boy, E-R-K-O-W-I-T-Z, 1704-B as in boy, Llano Street, L-L-A-N-O, number 249. And that's Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87505. As you might need to make a phone contact, you can call Marita at 317-773-0061. And again, 317-773-0061. And that Marita will help you get in contact with Tara and Rama by phone that way, or the email, Coran. Address is coran999@comcast.net. And that's Coran 999@comcast.net. Let them know that you're sending something. There is a PayPal button on the website on the donate. At the donate button is at the homepage or right above the blog. Do know that that takes 5 days, business days, so it takes longer. So what else do you need to know? I think that's everything. I'm so grateful for all the prayers that manifest these needs immediately for Tara and Rama. We are grateful for all that they do, and we are a part of that, as we are all one. And so as we share the word and help others come to the calls and be aware that this is a good way to pay money forward, thank you for that. Thank you, all you new ones. Thank you for being new and doing this. We're grateful for all that everyone can do. Thank you, 13 thank yous. And honey in the heart. And I pass this talking stick over to you, Tara and Rama. Greetings.
Aloha, everyone. Can you grab that dictionary from down there? Hello, everybody. And yes, thank you ahead of time. It is getting really cold here. And we're doing our best to have our mukluks ready. Oops. Oh, dear. Just a minute, everybody. The machine fell apart. Okay. Yeah, hello. This, the stand got a little funny. Okay. I didn't notice. Anyway, it's getting really cold, and it's been snowing already in Idaho and in Colorado Mountains, which is just the next state up from us, and also Montana and all the way up. But I'm just going, holy macaroni, it's September. What happened to Indian summer, as we call it? Mm. Also, I mean, Marita got a couple of quite a few emails saying that they didn't hear anything in the last hour or so of the show, that it wasn't there anymore. Mm. And I'm just racking my brain. If somebody was on the conference line, but then I think Rainbird would have noticed. It's kind of puzzling because there's, like we said before, but I'm going to give this number out. If there's ever any trouble with being able to hear this call, you don't just sit there and not hear it for the whole rest of the call. This number, called the customer service number at BBS Radio, is for all emergencies, as you cannot get through on any of the other numbers. Mm-hmm. So the customer service number is 1-888-710-8061. And then the universal call for North America is 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. So between those two, you should be able to get through no matter what. Never just sit down there and just, you know, chew on your fingernails or something. That's going on. I'm just saying, some good things are coming up here. We want to, it's already 29 minutes after. So if you got 1 minute or something, I want to play this half an hour piece because it's so critical. But I just wanted to say really quick, Rama, between you and me, NHK came up with that the world's first IPS cell surgery took place in Japan. And the researchers have conducted this first ever surgery using IPS cells on a patient suffering from a serious eye disease. And these cells kind of replicate themselves to whatever cells of the body need. So it's like a replacement surgery. And I'm just going to say real quick, we'll talk more later, but Rama, what's the key thing?
I talked to Mr. X today. Mr. X just said, everything is getting increasingly better and better across this planet. And these guys, they love them on their way to the dark rift. There are no more words to even begin to say anything else. And Mr. X also pointed out this other piece to me. On October 19th, there is a comet. This comet is called, it's got the name Spring in it. And
you forgot.
I forgot the first part of it. It's kind of a weird name. But this comet is going to very closely pass by Mars or impact Mars, the way Richard Hoagland is describing it. This comet is going to hit Mars at 19.5 degrees on Mars. This is so significant that has everything to do with Mr. 19.5 degrees over here. And the story about Mars, Andrew Basiago.
Okay. We probably have a few more things to say, but I think we should take the time to squeeze this in now. We got just a few minutes. But know that there's a court case. They're nailing NSA for spying.
Look at this.
And some really unbelievable things that have been done. We're in for the brand new stuff now, and Bill Maher is back, and it looks like we're in for quite a treat. So let's go listen to this. You'll get what I'm reason why we want to play this. It's a wonderful, wonderful little piece from Conversations with Great Minds with Tom Hartman. Here we go. And his guest, Mr. Corton.
Mr. Corton.
Yeah.
Not Commander Corton, mind you.
He might be a protege for him. You never know.
I stand corrected.
Okay. Former FBI Director Robert Mueller will be leading an independent, in quotes, investigation into the NFL's handling of the Ray Rice domestic violence controversy. But lost in all the news coverage over the Ray Rice controversy this past week is what's at the very core to Conversations with Great Minds with Dr. David Corton. I'm speaking with Dr. Corton, the co-founder of Yes Magazine and author of numerous books, including Agenda for a New Economy. My guest for tonight with Conversations with Great Minds is Dr. David Corton. David is the co-founder of Yes Magazine, as well as the co-chair of the New Economy Working Group and the founder of the Living Economies Forum. A former international development official, he is one of America's leading thinkers on issues of sustainability and economic fairness. David is also the author of a number of books, including Agenda for a New Economy, From Phantom Wealth to Real Wealth, and the international bestseller, When Corporations Rule the World. Dr. David Corton, welcome.
Delighted to be on your show, Tom.
Well, and thanks for joining me here, David. We're both in Seattle, even though we're in different studios. It's great having you with us, and great seeing you in person, too. Let's start out with you. What got you interested in politics and activism and for that matter, economics?
Well, that's a bit of a long story. I grew up in the 1950s, and that was a time when we had a strong middle class. There was a social contract that the economy should work for labor, it should work for business and government. Everybody had their roles. But I also grew up as a very conservative Republican. So when I went to college, I was just planning to go back home to my hometown and do the family business. But in my senior year, I ended up taking a course on modern revolution based on my fear of communist revolutions that were a threat to our American way of life, which I thought was actually a pretty good deal. It, of course, did not extend into people of color at the time, but I was not aware of that piece of it in my youthful innocence. Anyhow, I decided, based on that concern about poverty and revolution, that I would devote my life to international development, to bringing the secrets of U.S. business success to the world so we could get people beyond this this revolution. They could be happy middle-class consumers. Over the years, working in Africa, Asia, Latin America, it was kind of a long journey, but eventually I realized that what, in fact, most of what we were doing in the name of development was actually alienating people from control of their means of livelihood. A few people were getting richer. There was a bit of a growing middle class, but most people were being pushed into greater misery. The environment was being destroyed, and once strong, beautiful cultures were being wiped out, and people were their lives were becoming fragmented, families breaking up, communities breaking up. And something seemed terribly wrong. And that's where I began I began drawing on my business school education. We'd been taught, you know, my field in business school was organization. It was essentially, how do you organize corporations to keep people focused on the bottom line? Now, part of what I learned out of that is that organizational cultures and structures, reward systems and so forth, have very powerful impact on people's behavior. And what we began to see was that the whole institutional framework that was evolving in the global economy was, in a sense, about the old models of colonialism, with most of the people dependent on a dominator structure economy, in this instance controlled by global corporations that themselves were dependent on and driven by global financial markets that recognized only money, valued only money, and were literally destroying life to make money for rich people. And this analysis evolved over time, but that led me to get very deeply into concern about politics and particularly about economics and economic institutions.
Well, getting into how corporations are structured, prior to the Reagan administration, it was a violation of our tax code for CEOs to be compensated with stock options. And there was this big push, Milton Friedman, Steve Forbes, a bunch of these guys saying CEOs really should worry about the owners, in quotes, the stockholders, rather than, I mean, traditionally, a CEO had five constituencies. They had the institution itself. In fact, in 1980, the average CEO had been with their business over 20 years. And many of them started out in the mailroom, worked their way up. They had the institution itself. They had their community in which they lived. The idea that, you know, if a CEO shut down their business or moved it offshore, it was considered a horrible, embarrassing thing. They had their customers as a constituency, you know, to satisfy the customers. They had their workers as a constituency. And then they had the stockholders. And when Reagan changed the laws of compensation so that CEOs could be compensated with stock options, which A, are redeemable at a lower tax rate, you pay capital gains tax 20% maximum on it, and B, get around that $1 million cap of deductibility for corporations, that, it seems to me, was when we saw this explosion where the average CEO stopped making 30 times what the average worker makes, and now, like in the fast food industry, it's 1,200 to 1. Is that, first of all, your thoughts of that analysis? And secondly, if we were to simply undo that one piece of Reaganomics and say no more can you compensate senior level executives and CEOs with stock options, they have to take straight salary, would that have a significant impact? I mean, this is how it is in most of the countries of Europe. They don't allow stock option compensation. Your thoughts on this?
Well, I certainly agree with your analysis, and I think you're right on. The stock option move was very much a part of it, but the roots go much deeper. I mean, it was clearly part of dismantling that social contract that you described so well. Mm-hmm. But you know, you also write about the Lewis Powell memo to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And back in the early 70s, this very explicit choice by the leadership of the corporate elite, or as you call it, the economic royalists. That they need to take control, and that began a concerted effort. You know, not only to change the rules, and you know, many rules got changed, including and through the Clinton administration and all the various aspects of financial deregulation. But it was also part of changing the deeper story, of creating a story that said the purpose of the economy is to generate profits, that the corporation is responsible only to and for the shareholders. But that also came into a deeper context of, you know, prosperity is about making money, and people who make money are the wealth creators, and they deserve special rewards. It was also part of the shift to consumerism as a civic duty, and the defining the purpose of our life is making as much money as possible, making personal decisions based on maximizing market return. All of this, which was in the direction of destroying our sense of connection to community, and essentially substituting financial values for life values. So yes, I think the stock options should be eliminated, but I don't think that's going to make a difference, all that much difference in itself.
Sure. It goes
much deeper into
frame.
Things like ownership structures. Yeah, well, the story
You just identified some of the more toxic stories that are out there without rebuttal. What are the counter narratives to those stories?
Yeah, the counter narrative. And this is the subject of my forthcoming book that I've just finished writing. It's called Change the Story, Change the Future, A Living Economy for a Living Earth. The counter story is that, in fact, we are living beings. Money itself is not wealth at all. Money is an accounting system. It's basically nothing but numbers. And I'm not talking here about we need to go on the gold standard. But think about you've been on a ship. The ship sank. You're getting off the ship. You've got a choice. Can you take with you a case of rations and things to support you, or you've got a choice of a case of gold bricks or of $100 bills? Now, if you are a rational economic man, you're going to take the money. If you're a living person, a thoughtful living person, you're going to take the rations. So, this is kind of a metaphor for our society that we've, with this story focused on money, we're focused on making money rather than making a living. And the deeper story is that as living beings on a living earth, real wealth is living wealth. Our very existence depends on the health of Earth's living systems, the health of our soils, the health of our water, the ability of Earth to keep regenerating clean water, to maintain the stability of the climate, to maintain the purity of the air we breathe. This is all the most foundational of real wealth, and yet we organize the whole economy around essentially suppressing, destroying nature, destroying the foundations of life to make money essentially for rich people. And that's where our story goes fundamentally wrong. Now, we also, that flawed story ignores the fact that life exists only in community. At the deepest level, life is fundamentally a cooperative activity. It is, in fact, the interactions of all the living species on this planet that maintains the conditions on this planet that are unique, so far as we know, to this planet beyond any other, of maintaining an atmosphere, a temperature, conditions of soil, ocean composition, and so forth, essential to maintaining higher forms of life. And yet we ignore all of this in the quest to make money, which in the end is basically just growing numbers on computer hard drives in accounts that are labeled financial assets of various billionaires. This is insanity. It's why I call our current economy a suicide economy.
You just took the words out of my mouth. And I think your metaphor of the ship is sinking and you're going to hop off onto a desert island. What do you take with you? Gold or food? Is a brilliant one. We have just a minute left, David. You refer to this as a suicide economy. You've given a fairly eloquent statement about it. Would you care to add to that or suggest how we get out of it?
Well, there's it's going to take a little longer to talk about how we get out of it, but as you are so well aware, we are currently on a human course towards self-extinction. It is literal suicide for the species. And the key, to me, the start for change is essentially to challenge our story, to change our story, recognize we are living beings on a living earth, and that the health of living earth is essential to our well-being, and that in turn depends on the well-being of all of the living organisms on earth. So it's a fundamental shift in perspective and frame that ultimately changes everything, and it gets us into a need to examine our deepest beliefs, our cosmology stories about the nature of reality and our own nature.
Dr. David Corden will continue this conversation, Conversations of the Great Minds, right after this break. To Conversations with Great Minds with Dr. David Corden. I'm speaking with Dr. Corden, the co-founder of Yes Magazine and author of numerous books, including Agenda for a New Economy, From Phantom Wealth to Real Wealth, and When Corporations Rule the World. Dr. Corden, in When Corporations Rule the World, you distinguish between two types of political economies, what you called corporate libertarianism and democratic pluralism. Can you explain?
Yeah, it's basically quite straightforward. You know, libertarianism is about individual freedom. Now, what we've actually gotten into is not the freedom of the individual, but rather the freedom of the corporation. And, you know, here's where, you know, I laugh that perhaps, well, the Supreme Court's inability to distinguish between a living person and an artificial legal entity called a corporation gives new meaning to the idea that justice is blind. The difference between the two is should be absolutely clear to anyone who's paying attention. A corporation is nothing but a legal contract, a legal charter. It does not eat, breathe. It does not die. It does not bear children. It is in no sense a living institution. Now, there are a lot of people that work for corporations, but they are employees of the corporation. They are not the corporation. So do we organize our political system, our system of rights and power, around the rights of corporations, essentially accountable only to financial markets? Under the current system, those rights literally trump the rights of real living people, which is absurd, because you put this in a larger context. You say, well, you know, without nature, there are no people. Without people, there are no corporations. And yet we give corporations more rights than people. We give nature no rights whatever. So part of the shift is recognizing that we want to create freedom for people, but also recognizing that true freedom comes with responsibility. There is no such thing as freedom without responsibility. But this requires a wholly different kind of legal frame, a different kind of a perception of the nature of society. So, you know, do we organize around the needs and interests of what I now call money-seeking corporate robots, or do we organize society around living people, living families, living in community, working in a balanced relationship with their local ecosystems, their local nature, to create living communities that maintain the conditions of life for all and that create true prosperity and actually allow us to actualize our true nature as living beings who yearn to connect to nature, to community, to other people, and who get our true satisfaction not from competition and violence, but from making a real contribution to the well-being of the community. And this, of course, is part of the leading edge of science, of understanding our true human nature, that our brains are wired to reward generosity and cooperation. Any healthy human being actually gets a kind of a thrill, of positive tingle, a satisfaction when we do something good for another person or make a contribution, an unselfish, unrewarded contribution to society. So this is all part of a new story. It is part of recognizing that the defining purpose of an economy is properly not to make money. It is to make a living. It is to provide the arrangements by which we all make our living, in which we have healthy diets, in which we have strong communities, in which we have good relationships with our neighbors, in which we have educational systems that develop the full person, not just to prepare us for servitude to some corporation, but to have full, meaningful lives, to be good citizens. The challenge is that we have so corrupted our ideas, our ideals, our values, and our institutional systems, as well as our framing stories, that literally everything has to change. But it all starts with a new story. We are living beings born on a living earth who gain our satisfaction, our well-being, from living in strong, healthy communities that are essentially cooperative and that are focused on making a living, not making a killing.
Yeah. In your book, The Great Turning, you make a distinction between empires and earth communities. Can you explain?
Yeah, the earliest societies and some indigenous societies to this day organized around nature. They organized around community, a strong sense of being a part of Earth, being part of nature, of living as part of a community that's not just humans, but of the whole community of living beings. Now, somewhere around 5,000 years ago, we began to shift. We began the development of city-states, beginning to organize around hierarchies of domination rather than sharing communities. And this pattern got deeply established over 5,000 years, more from monarchies and city-states to nations, but again, national monarchies. Now, eventually, as democracy began to come in, and a sense that people have rights, that there should be more equality and a right of vote. Back in those days, some of the monarchs realized that they could issue corporate charters. That this was a way of getting around accountability to the emergent parliaments. They could make private gains, they could sell licenses and so forth. These are things that you've looked very deeply into in your own research. And basically the creation of that publicly traded corporation was an effort to circumvent the constraints on the dominator rulers by legislation or by legislative bodies. Now, of course, what's happened over time is that the corporation itself has become an increasingly autonomous entity and has gained more and more control over government through all of the control of political contributions and so forth that you talk about. So now the corporation, in a sense, dominates government rather than working within the rules set by government. And this becomes increasingly pernicious. And the thing that I've begun to realize, why I now refer to money-seeking corporate robots, is that even our biggest, most powerful corporations, being publicly traded in share markets, the real control rests with the share markets, in which most of the trading is actually done by computers that are not even managed by humans. And the whole system becomes a kind of an autonomous robotic system geared to making money by any means, including the destruction of life. And the corporation has become an extension of that. And the people who look to us like they're heading these corporations, they're actually captive to the system themselves. And they get lavishly rewarded. So long as they are generating massive profits for the financial markets, but if they were to make honest decisions, socially responsible decisions, and say, well, you know, our role is really to serve the community, serve the workers, as well as produce a fair but modest financial return to investors, then they will be either the managers will be fired by the shareholders, the shareholder institutions, or the private equity firms will buy them out and replace management and do whatever is necessary to get the corporation maximizing profits. So I think this is part of our current understanding, the extent to which the corporations, along with the financial markets, have become quite autonomous, operate quite independently of any kind of human accountability. And even those who seem to have the most power get the richest rewards are, in a sense, in servitude to the system themselves. And the task before us to come forward with an authentic story, to rediscover our true nature, and to reclaim our power, and to recognize that our current money system is a system of power, because we've arranged life such that our access to the very means of living depends on our access to money, which means the people and the institutions that hold the power to create and allocate money actually control us. And increasingly, those are institutions that are, in a sense, working autonomously, way outside of any kind of human direction. So it's a huge challenge, but the change all starts with changing the story. Recognizing that we're living by a false story of what I call sacred money and markets, literally the worship of money as our defining value, the worship of markets as our moral compass, and recognizing we're living beings and that we have to live with a sense of moral responsibility for ourselves, one another, and for nature.
David, just a minute left. In your book, Agenda for a New Economy, which came out right after the 2008 crash, you talked about how crises were an opportunity for change. What happened to that opportunity?
Well, the interesting thing is, when the crash happened, what we should have done is the government should have, they had to do something to bail out the banks, because otherwise, literally, all our money would have disappeared, just given the way the money system is structured. Financial assets would have disappeared, money would have disappeared. So they had to step in, but instead of saving the banks and turning them back to themselves, there was no alternative plan in place. If we had a proper plan in place, government would step in, it would take over the banks, it would then break them up and restore the system of local banks, ideally cooperatively.
But we did that in 33.
Rooted in community we used to have.
Yeah, we did that in 32, 33. Why couldn't we figure it out now? We just have a few seconds left. 20 seconds.
I think that story had been forgotten, and of course the Wall Street interests were right in there saying the system will crash if you don't bail us out, and there's far too little public understanding of that history and what its implications and having a plan in place.
Yeah, it's the great forgetting. Dr. David Korten, thanks so much for being with us tonight, David.
Thank you.
To see this and other conversations, go to our website at conversationswithgreatminds.com. And that's the way it is tonight, Friday, September 12th, 2014. And don't forget, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. See you Monday.
Okay, everybody, tag, we're it. And we're going to go and have a conversation now for an hour at 213.
No.
Oh, dear.
860-970-0300. And the pin code is 23-23-23-23-pound.
Okay, and we'll see you at the top of the next hour back here again at BBS Radio, best radio in the universe. Come join us on the conversation. Satnam.